next world. The certainty of this trip is seen in God's Word. You know, many trips that we plan, we may follow through with them, but there are a few that we don't. Something comes up, a sickness or something happens in our family that will not allow us to make the trip. We have to postpone or we cancel it altogether. But the trip that we're on, the journey that we're on, it is a certainty. In Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once. And after this, the judgment. In James 4 and verse 14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. David said in Psalm 55, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Oh, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. We return from most trips, don't we? Lord willing, I plan to return home tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going home. Being with my wife. Being with our children and grandchildren. There's no better place than being at home. But this journey that we're on, when we pass, there's no return. I thought about my father leaving this life in 2012 and how much I miss him. But I know he would not want to return to this earth. And I don't want him to return. I want to go and be with him one day. And you think about the people that you know that remain faithful through the end, throughout the end of their life. How much you look forward to one day being with them in heaven. In Job 16, verse 22, for when a few years are finished, I shall go the way of no return. 2 Samuel 12:23, David said in regards to the death of his son, but now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. When we go on a trip, you make preparation, don't you? See, the journey in the next world, preparation is necessary. Before I came here last week, I was trying to figure out what all I needed to bring. I communicated with Billy over materials that would be needed. I looked at my weather bug to see what the weather would be like over the next 10 days and see if I was going to bring the right clothing, which I did not. I didn't plan very well on that. Someone even offered the other night to give me a heavier coat. I said, I'll make it. I'll make it through it. But when I think about when we go on trips and we make all kinds of plans and we look at places where we want to visit, you know, you're on a vacation, you'll get things out, or we used to get the AAA maps out. Now you just go online and you figure out your trip that way. And you look at the hotels that you may want to stay in, the restaurants, and the clothing you'll take with you. And then maybe who's going to take care of the animals? Who's going to take care of the mail? You make all of this preparation. But we must prepare for this trip due to the fact of this one reason. Sin. See, the Bible says that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We can look back to Adam and Eve when they sinned in the Garden of Eden. They were separated from God. That's what sin will do. It will separate you from God. Your relationship with Him is in jeopardy. And so what do? You get back on track. You find out what you need to do and you repent. And you, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you do what's required and what's necessary in order to be with the Lord forever. Yes, the Bible tells us to prepare. Amos 4 verse 12. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. In John 14 verse 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In Matthew 24, verse 42 through 44, Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." You know, people for many, many years have made predictions of when the Lord was going to come. Never happened. It's going to come when we least expect it. That's good for us to know that, because we have to stop and think, I better be ready. I better be prepared. Or else I'm going to be in big trouble if I'm not. I used to hear preachers say years ago, when they talked about this, they'd say, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You used to hear that all the time. But how true, how accurate that is. You've got to be prepared at all times. And there are times when we slip up and we stumble and we sin. Well, we better get back in relationship with God. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. And it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And just a little ways into sin, it's just too far. Got to get back in harmony with God. So that you're prepared and you're ready for that day. When we take a trip out of the country, planning and preparation is also required. And we'll start really early on that. We'll, months ahead of time, we'll look at our passport. We'll see where we are, how much more time do I have left on my on my passport, or do I need to go and get it renewed? Make a lot of plans. But I'll tell you something else we do. If you're going to take a trip, most people want somebody to guide them. So as we journey to the next world, guidance is very, very important. My wife, back in 2010, her parents said to her and to her two siblings, her sisters, "We're going to take you girls to Europe. And we're going to be gone, well, the trip's going to last 21 days. We're going to cover 10 countries in 21 days. They never asked me if I wanted to go, or my brother-in-law. But when we heard that they were going to cover 10 countries in 21 days, I was okay with it. And Vicki said that was the most trying trip that she'd ever been on in her life. Just being ready every day, and the guide saying, "Have your luggage here. If it's not here, we're going without you." And she was just nervous the whole time they were gone. But she said, "We couldn't have made it without a guide." See, you and I are unable to find heaven alone. We can't get there alone. Proverbs 14 verse 12. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." In Jeremiah 10:23, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man who walks to direct his own steps." Oh, and I love Proverbs 3 verse 5 through 8. My wife's favorite passage. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Jesus offers to be our guide. Notice in John chapter 6, I'm going to read a little bit beyond this as well. But in John chapter 6, and starting with verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. We continue reading on a little bit beyond that, verse 63, verse 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's our guide. He offers to guide us. John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me and shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Oh, so walking in sunlight all of my journey over the mountains through the deep veil. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Well, Jesus offers to be our guide. It's God's word guides us. Notice with me, in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We've got to study it. Notice in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, or be diligent to present yourself approved of God or to God. A worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God's word must be studied. When I think about God's word, it's our roadmap to get us to heaven. And you've got to study it like you would any other map. In Isaiah 34, verse 16, search from the book of the Lord and read, and not one of these shall fail. I want you to notice with me now in Acts 8. I think it's interesting to note here that what we just got through reading was from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 16, when he said, search from the book of the Lord and read. And notice in Acts 8, when we read of the conversion of this Ethiopian eunuch, what he was reading from. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah. Notice what I said? He was reading. What did Isaiah say? Search from the book of the Lord and read. What? See where you are and where you're headed. Let me start with verse 26. Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading. Underline that. Reading the prophet Isaiah. and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" I underlined that one too. And then look at verse 31. And here's what he said to Philip. "How can I unless someone guides me?" Guides me. Underline that. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And so the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" And then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away. So the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. What did reading from the prophet Isaiah do for this man? He didn't know where he was. He didn't understand where he was in his life, spiritually speaking. But by reading and someone explaining to him, guiding him from God's word, he said, "Here's where you are. And here's where you need to go. Here's what you need to do." It was through God's word that guided him. It's the God's word that guided you, the majority of you here this morning. We take it for granted, don't we? How important this book is to each one of us. You know, here's something else to point out about God's word. It's sufficient. There's no updates required. Anytime that you have any kind of a map or GPS on your phone, how many times are you told you need to update? You need to update your GPS, your map, so you stay current. God's word doesn't need updating. See, the Bible teaches us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I mean, you know, when you're traveling down the interstate and you stop at a rest area, many times I'll go over to the map just to look at the map. I know where I'm going, but I want to know at that moment, where am I now? So I don't even look to see where my destination is. I'm looking to see where I am right now. And it will say, "You are here. You are here." Then I'll look and see where I'm going and see how much more time it's going to take to get there. The Bible tells you where you are now, but it also tells you where you want to be and what you need to do in between. As we journey into the next world, we certainly have guidance to get there. And then one final point. There's one way. Many will tell us today that there's multiple ways to get to heaven, but there's one way. What did Jesus teach? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." Sing this song, "I am the way." "Oh, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the the vine.
not afraid. Come unto me. I am the way.
It is the way which leads to life, eternal life. Jesus taught in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. There are few who find the right way. Someone said, if you're headed in the wrong direction on the highway of life, God allows U-turns. That's what repentance is about. Making about face. Going in this direction. Oh, this is the wrong way. I'm getting further and further away from God. From going and being at home with Him for eternity. I better turn. And you turn this way with a penitent heart and to get back in the right way. There's only one way to go. It's through complete obedience to Christ. It doesn't hurt at all, even though I'm not going to offer an invitation at the end of this lesson. But I tell you what, we all need to be reminded of what's required in fully obeying God. When you look at what Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, is recorded there, if you do not believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. We find recorded in Luke 13, verse 3, but unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. This is coming from the words of our Savior. In Matthew 10, 32, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Those are the words of Jesus. In Mark 16, verse 16, from the words of Jesus, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Again, words from our Savior. When I hear people say, when I go through these sayings of Jesus, say to me, well, I don't think that's what he meant. Are you serious? It's Jesus saying this. Yeah, but I've heard, yeah, but what's happened to many people is they're listening to some other way. You've been given wrong directions before? Yeah, we have been. I have probably given wrong directions to people who've asked me, how do I get to a certain place? And I've told them wrong. Well, many people today in the world today, and even in the religious world, have been given wrong directions. These are the right directions. They're not mine. They're His. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, as Paul wrote to the Galatian brethren, you've put on Christ. You have put on Christ. Why not get into the right way? You know, it's an upward way. When we read what Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal. Are you pressing toward the goal? Then notice what we read from Paul near the end of his life. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8, there's a reward at the end of the way. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And this word here just always intrigues me. Finally. Paul can finally say, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. There's a reward there. I look forward to that, don't you? As we look at this journey in the next world, don't ever forget, it's a certainty. We're going to come to end of life. We're going to come to the end of this life. We've got to prepare for it, though. But we have guidance along the way from God through His Word and through His Son, Jesus Christ. But there's only one way to get there. Let's close our class with Higher Ground. If you'd like to stand at this time, we'll sing this through a couple of verses, and then we'll dismiss our class. Higher Ground.
So I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I pray till end I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land, higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.